I see with growth potential? What do the people in this area want to buy? What will they buy on a regular basis? What would people travel to this area to purchase? And the answer would be drugs.
Or restaurants and music.
I mean, really, so that's what true. Restaurants are we talking about over there?
Well, they kind of cycle in and out.
They sure
now.
Do, don't they? I mean, because you can't keep any. There's so much awesome storefront space over there. But the reality is that is a drug area. It's a drug-infested area. And the only thing that you can do over there and do successfully is going to be sell drugs.
So
that
is the true, legalization
that's true
then
for a
to solve?
That's true for a lot of parts of this town. That's true for Linwood and Prospect. You have a couple of businesses over there, sure. But, I mean, if you want to, if you are coming in as an outsider and you want to have a business model, a business plan that's just going to work and make you money overnight, selling drugs is it. That's the reality of that economic situation.
Well, but there's some, what do they call that?
It's about
attainment
a minute.
Attainment costs?
It's about a minute after one right
or
here.
Or acquisition 90. Costs.
90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. But, Bill, we appreciate your phone call, man. You take care and, all
right.
You know, stop, drop, and roll or whatever you're supposed to do.
Yeah, if you just tried to open up shop.
You know what I'm saying? That's
I'm just saying.
That's the well, right. And that's the violence, is it not? That's what we're that's what I'm saying.
So yeah, last year Chicago did have the highest rate in over a decade by 3 murders.
Okay.
But did you know that
everywhere else it was going down?
Yeah.
Chicago's
very you can't really say it's up and coming because it's already been.
Right. It's got
player,
some deep, deeper-seated issues.
Back. Did you know that, this is the one thing there, did you know that Chicagoans are 6 times more likely to be shot by police than New Yorkers are, though? That happened to be on this statistic page. Yeah, I don't see anything for the Kansas City...
Well, I don't doubt or
gang violence. What percentage? I'm looking for a percentage.
I'm with your analysis, Ben. As far as I know, like the majority of the murders happen in that zip code.
Yeah, and what
I guess I guess what I'm having a problem is like seeing people, and maybe because I'm trying to think with a rational mind here, that's not, you know, drug war addled and ready to like battle for everything, but it seems like an awful lot of blood to be shed over nickels and dimes. You know what I'm saying? As far as a trade, if it's all about the drug trade, you know what I mean?
Mike,
you said legalize drugs. And
but
that
Mike, you're
solve
saying that these people, you know, these corners that are worth, you know, a couple $100 to a guy in a night, you're saying that, you know, that is not enough. The livelihood of that is not
that would
enough
certainly
to,
be enough for him to have an altercation. But all of the altercations that I have witnessed, right, when I'm just driving out and about or when I see the thing starting to unfold, I got to say I haven't really seen much in the way of gunplay. I've seen, you know, threats of gunplay and people that had guns, right? But it doesn't come about because, you know, like, it doesn't come about because, hey, man, what the hell are you doing on my corner? How you selling to him? Or even, hey, man, you sold me some crap. That kind of fight, you know, drug deal gone bad. What I see and have seen in my experiences of violence in the 64130 has been closer to you stepped on my foot, you ran my tire, you know what I mean? You cut me off on the road.
So, but these people
you
that were talking
with my girl.
Okay, but these people that you're talking about who are having these altercations over that, these people have jobs at McDonald's? I mean, they're working for
right.
They're working for the water department and they're strapped? Waiting for somebody to step on their foot? I mean,
No, they don't have jobs.
Right. So,
or they have tenuous jobs.
They don't have jobs. The tenuous jobs or whatever it is. I mean.
And they have a mindset that having a gun is something that's necessary.
But where's that
gun? That's just part of the culture.
How do you get
money? So, yes, if you take the drug game out of the scenario, that would probably help to lessen that. And so you would eventually. I'm not saying that legalizing drugs would not help the situation. I think it would help the situation. But the underlying part...
The vast majority of the violence that takes place in this country happens in inner city counties. Most of the violence that takes place is...
And the vast majority of the marijuana that is consumed is not in the inner city.
It's not?
I don't believe so.
I can't get a figure for Kansas City.
But what does
city.
That mean? I mean...
That means there's a lot of pot in the suburbs.
Okay.
There's a lot of meth in, you know, other places, Independence, but the murder rates are not the same. You see what I mean? There is a difference. And I don't want to just, I don't want to fall into the mindset or the myth or the whatever, the misconception that, oh, there's the problem. They're all a bunch of drugged out knuckleheads.
There is no corner. Oh, well, maybe I'm not. I could.
That's what's wrong with these people. I want to get away from these people since and look at. And I'm not saying that's where you were. I'm just saying that is what I.
There's no open air drug markets in Johnson County. There might be drugs in Johnson County. I mean, sure, the majority of drugs that are probably consumed in Johnson County are pharmaceutical drugs that are being used off prescription.
Right. But when you say stuff like, you know, the number one cash crop in California is pot or something
people
like
say
that.
The number one cash crop in Missouri is weed.
Okay. So
have you ever heard
if
that before?
I've heard that. But yeah. See, that's like...
I mean, how do you run a statistic on that?
Right.
Don't
how
know.
Do you run that statistic?
Know. The FBI's and official website says that gang-related homicides reported to police in America, I can't get a total for Kansas
right.
City, make up 74%.
Oh!
74%.
According to the FBI's official website,
Daddy just pulling figures out of his a-hole.
74% of the homicides in the United States last year were gang-related in one way or another. And this
there
is the
go.
FBI's official website.
Wow.
There you go. So,
well,
I was that,
get a Kansas
I was,
City tally on
I
that.
Was being conservative with my 70%. So,
if
that,
we're going to accept somebody's word, it should be the FBI. No, I'm just playing. No, but oh, that's
and I just
maybe
got a
that
pop
is
I just got a pop up that said get help for heroin addiction by finding a treatment provider.
Does that mean somebody that provides
on the
heroin?
FBI's website. It was just weird.
Is that someone who provides heroin? Oh, treatment
yeah, good,
to reduce
takes you to the Silk Road 2.0.
They get you the clean needles.
Right.
No, but see, this is, again, what is the solution?
So you might
to this?
Be right. That might be the panacea, is to legalize.
That's
although,
the,
wouldn't you,
never,
wouldn't you see
happen.
That coming forward in, like, L.A.? Yeah, maybe it is. What's the
what?
Mr. Actuary over there?
What's that?
What's L.A. looking like since they've had legalization over the last 10 years? You
legalization of what?
Do you think I just got back from L.A.?
Pot is not the drug that we're talking about.
I'm
so out of it. No. Los Angeles, because California is legalized marijuana. But you're talking about H.
We're talking about crack cocaine.
Is crack still
no,
that
not crack.
Big?
It's like powdery white stuff. They call it Kentucky bathtub powder. Eastern Kentucky. Yeah, nobody smokes rocks anymore. Not here.
Man, I got to get out more. I have no idea.
Really,
what
Jesse?
Are
you
doing.
know that people don't smoke rocks anymore?
Yeah, I mean,
there's no rock
there's
smokers.
There's no rocks to be found. I mean, there might
right,
be some
right.
kind of rock.
Thanks,
that
Jesse.
Was made.
Man on the street over here. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. There's no crack cocaine.
I mean, I don't see the glass vials in the alley anymore.
I'm
I'll
not
just
saying
say
it
that.
Doesn't exist. That it's extinct.
You can
That's not
go
what I'm saying.
To any gas station on the east side of this town and buy a Silk Rose in a glass tube. Do you buy it for the Silk Rose or the glass tube? People don't smoke crack.
I gotta start paying attention more. And now I'm hearing what you're saying. You're saying like a flower, glass flower that is actually a pipe.
I'm not an expert. I would say at least.
But you sure do talk a lot, don't you?
I would say 90%.
Not an expert, but you got a lot to say, don't 90% you?
90% of the tweakers walking around right now are not smoking rocks. That's all I'm saying. They're smoking some kind of homemade, I don't know what you call it, methamphetamines, I guess.
Which apparently
it's not the same thing.
Yeah, you guys really, I mean,
I
you guys are just blowing me away with your amazing your depths of knowledge over here. It's really impressive, guys.
I got to start hanging out on the corners.
The profit margin on marijuana is very small compared to the profit margin on crack cocaine, right?
That makes sense.
Does that make sense?
That
I
does
mean,
make
do we need
sense.
To break this down? I mean, this shouldn't
right,
be
maybe
that hard
I've
to
been
understand.
Thinking about the wrong you guys. I guess, yeah.
So a little bag of crack costs $20. How much bigger is a bag of $20 worth of marijuana versus $20 worth of
right,
crack?
Right, you can carry a lot. You could carry 10 grand on you.
One's a powdered chemical
seen.
Or a rocked up chemical. The other one's a plant.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Right, if you carry 10 grand worth of marijuana, people would know it.
You're baller.
They would know it, though. I mean, they would smell it. God. You'd be all bulky. But you could carry...
816-931-5534 931 KKFI. You're on the radio.
Yeah, boy, it's Uncle Fester.
I thought H was the thing now.
H heroin? Well, heroin is the thing if you read New York Times. That's what everyone's doing on the East Coast.
That's what they called it in the 80s. Yeah, right. Do they still call it H? I mean, it's still functional.
I mean, no, I don't know. Uncle
He's
Fester.
Like, I don't hang out with heroin users.
Uncle
just
Fester,
crack
when
users.
You go buy your heroin, what do you refer to it as? Yo, dealer man. Let me get some of the H.
It's
I need
a
some more
smack, man.
Some horse.
Horse.
The D.
Right.
It's the D.
The D? Why
that's
D?
What they call it on the East Coast. The dope.
Ah, okay.
Dancing with Mr. D.
Death.
What's
put
going
a
on, Fester?
In your arms.
What's going on, Fester?
Hey, man, what's up? I'm hanging out in the backyard walking my cat with my 45, man.
Cool.
On a leash?
Yeah, just to make it doubly evil, I got it loaded with ammo from Walmart just to make it doubly evil. You know what I'm saying?
You can still buy ammo at Walmart?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, they got a lot of scopes and stuff. It's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. They got Winchester white box for $32 a box, baby, for 50 rounds of stuff. It's awesome.
They got a lot of... I could see being a gun guy, I could see getting geeked out over that stuff. Because I just went up and was looking at it going like, wow, that's
I'm
a really big
over,
shell. Because, you know, they had like shells up there so you could see what was in the box. And I was like, wow, that is a really big shell. And then you start looking at the night goggles and just stuff that's available.
Toys.
Just for 99 cent. Not quite 99 cent, but you know what I mean? Like cheap. Like
they roll back prices there.
Well,
yeah, it's they limit you to two boxes now because they're selling so much. You know, interestingly enough, you know what is the one round that you absolutely cannot find anywhere?
22 long rifle.
You are absolutely right. It is nowhere. I mean, it is nowhere online. It's no Walmart.
You used to be able to buy a bulk box of 550 for about $20, and now if you find somebody who's got a bulk box that they'll sell you, they want $100 for it.
That's right. Is this Benjamin?
Yep.
Oh, hey, Benjamin. What's going on, man? I had the radio on for just a second. I didn't hear you. I know you weren't in last week. Hey, listen, man. I want to talk about progressivism for a minute, okay?
Uh-oh.
You know, we got this guy whose name, you know, if you don't want me to, I won't mention. He's a sports talk guy. Well, basically, it's the whole crew on 610 AM Sports. But, you know, they've basically been coming out, and I'm getting ready to wage kind of a personal jihad against these people. I'm going to contact their advertisers and see if I can get them all fired. But
you're a Muslim?
No.
Oh, okay. Well,
these guys, they come on the radio, and they actually call their, Bible-believing Christians and people that are libertarians and Tea Party people ignorant, stupid, that we're dinosaurs that need to die. You know, and let me just say this. See, that's the problem I have with progressives. It's basically
the guys on the sports. Fester, the guy on the sports talk show is saying that.
Yes. His name. Well, one of them is named Josh Vernier, who does the Royals pre and post game, and the other ones are the guys Danny Parkins and Carrington Harrison that come on at 2 o'clock.
And these guys,
saying we're not going to take phone calls because you all are too ignorant and we don't want to hear it. And basically, y'all are dinosaurs and you need to die. I mean, I listen to that crap and my head explodes, man.
Can I tell you something? The guys on the commercial side of the radio dial, they're not nearly as polite as us folks here at community radio.
Are you a Tea Party guy?
I got to tell you, there seems to be this mindset among progressives, and I've noticed this. It's just not these guys on the radio. There is a mindset amongst progressives that they're the smartest people in the room. That, you know, and a lot of them are almost like they're completely insane. They're like, it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter how hypocritical they are. It's just like, you know what? We're smarter than you. Don't ask any questions. It's just like the ones that say we're not going to debate about global warming. Well, it's over. you know, it's just happening, and if you don't believe in it, then you're just an idiot, and we're not going to discuss it, we're not going to debate it, and there's no scientific debate, case closed. And that's just insanity. And some of these people, I mean, look, that's what gives rise to fascism, that's what gives rise to Nazism, believing you're the smartest person in the room and that there's no debate and just do what we say and keep your mouth shut. You know, that kind of PC mindless crap.
Fester, did you hear Sarah Palin's thing on baptizing terrorists?
What's that?
She said that if she was president, that she would baptize terrorists by waterboarding them.
Really?
Well, you know, Sarah's not the brightest bulb in the room, but I mean, you know, she's fun to look at.
Tea Party people I know love her.
So-called Christians just drive me nuts.
What's that?
I said so-called Christians drive me nuts.
Well, not as nuts as so-called enlightened.
No, yeah, they're worse because they take people off the mark.
You guys realize that the whole point is to have us not having a conversation.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's generally true. But hold on.
Benjamin, wouldn't you agree that when people say we're the smart ones, shut up and just do what we say, isn't that what the Nazis did? Isn't that what fascists do? Isn't that what totalitarians do, basically? So just don't debate us. Just listen to what we say and keep your mouth shut. That's basically what they're doing.
Yeah,
and,
but
you know,
so does my mother-in-law, and I don't think
about.
She's
this
a Nazi.
This is all about freedom and individualism and people being able to say and think whatever the hell they want to. And this groupthink, this mindset, that, you know, we all have to be in the same little group. We have to all think the same way and pull in the same way and do the same thing, you know, and everybody be PC and all this ignorant crap.
Fester,
I mean, that's what's tearing this country apart.
What's tearing this country apart is the fact that our priorities are all wrong and we're spending trillions of dollars every year killing American soldiers and foreigners over corporate profits. That's where the country really got off all wrong. And when we talk about these issues of progressivism and this, that, and the other thing, I mean, most of this stuff is just labels. People have spent, I know that Obama is not your ideal for a leader of America, and he's not mine either. But the point is that people have spent the last 6 years of his presidency talking about how extreme he is to the left. And, you know, the word progressivism, I mean, that's kind of turned into a Glenn Beck buzzword. And people have spent so much time talking about how divisive Obama is when he's really just the same as the guy that was there before him. But it's
to me, the progressives are just the flip side. I'm not into labels. You're right. Labels are, you know, put whatever label on them you want to. But it's the same group thing here's another label for you. The neocons had under George Bush. It's just the flip side of the coin.
No, and that's fair. That's a very fair thing to say, what you just said there. Because ultimately, these people who are running this country, be it Nancy Pelosi or John Boehner, it doesn't matter. They're not doing it for the American people. They're running it for the oligarchy. They're running it for the plutocrats.
They're running it for the left-wing elites
or the right-wing elites, but they're still elites. That's who it's being run for. And we sit here and we have these arguments about these people over here and these people over here when we are getting framed. We're being framed by people who want to set the agenda, the political action committees, the lobbyists, the people that want to pass legislation that doesn't benefit anyone but benefits corporations. Those are the people that have been running the show. And we sit here and have these arguments. And we try to say, you know, people call the Tea Party people idiots. People call the progressive people communists. And nothing gets accomplished except for the folks that want to get stuff done, the elites at the top, passing the legislation, changing the laws, manipulating the policy, changing the agenda for the benefit of themselves.
All right,
I mean, the whole time.
I'm not so much talking politics. I'm talking about the state of mind where people say, well, you know, if you're opposed to gay marriage, then you're a dinosaur and you need to die, and you're ignorant and you're unintelligent, or if you oppose global warming. I'm talking about the mindset that, you know, whether it pertains to global warming or gay marriage which. Of course, in my mind, there is no such thing, but that's irrelevant. But you know,
I mean, that's the whole point.
Fester.
Fester, think about
that. Everybody else, that if you don't toe the line,
right,
that somehow you that
think
you're
about
some
that,
kind
though.
Of freak. What I'm
what
talking
the hell
about
do you
is
care?
The American
what?
Ideals of individualism,
right, the American
and
ideals,
and
Fester,
freedom,
stop. The American
are
ideals
are being destroyed in the name of groupthink. you know. And groupthink is a very, look, like I said, you don't have to look any farther than the Nazis to see where groupthink gets you. And that's what we have in this country is massive groupthink as opposed to thinking.
We have a couple of different groups, and the people in one group call the other people a group, and they don't see their own groupedness.
Well, you know, but what group am I in? I'm in the group that's pro-Constitution, pro-liberty, and pro-freedom. That's not a group. That's a mindset. That's a reality. That's not a group. That's not a group. That's just adhering to the principles of the country.
But you just call these other folks a mindset. So now you're slipping the name, but you're saying that you're the same as they are, just you have different opinions. And when you start throwing
this... If I identify with people that revere the Constitution, yes, I guess you could say I'm the same as them.
Okay.
If we give due diligence and revere the founding documents that this country was founded on, and respect the ideals of liberty and freedom, yes,
right.
I guess
then
you could say I'm in the same group as those people. But
Fester, what part of the Constitution mentions marriage?
No part.
Okay, so then what do you care? What do you care if gay people get married? What does it matter then?
Well, that's more from a biblical perspective than a constitutional perspective.
Wait a minute. So then is which one's more important for the practical purposes of running America, the Bible or the Constitution? When we're talking about running this country, the rule of law, the way things operate, what's more important, the Bible or the Constitution?
Okay, well, the Bible says to follow the law.
No. Whatever.
The Bible says to follow the law.
Okay, so then what in the law says, what if we're talking about the Constitution, what says you can't? If you're a gay guy, you can't marry another gay guy or another guy or whatever.
It doesn't, but I don't think, in my opinion, that the institution of marriage applies to same-sex couples.
Fair enough. So in your personal life, the Bible governs, and that's important for you, you know, but when we're talking about the social life, the society that we all live in, the Constitution should be more. But we can't blur these two lines because this is where the problems begin, you know? Because, sure, you have the Bible. That's important to you. But not everyone does. And that's not important to everyone. And that's okay. I mean, we can't have it both ways. We can't have it America's a Christian nation founded on the Bible or America's a constitutional republic founded on, you know, equal access to the laws and the rule of law.
Okay, Benjamin, does it matter? Does the people's voice matter? Does the voice of the people matter?
Did it ever is really the question. In America...
Well, I'm making the point that gay marriage has been voted down in, well, maybe not so much now, but in the past 7 or 8 years or 10 years has been voted down almost everywhere it's been put up for a vote, including California,
but
including
Fester,
Missouri.
Uncle
that doesn't
Fester,
seem to matter to anybody.
Okay, Uncle Fester, could I point out to you that could be said about several things that were voted down?
I don't care if it's been said about several things. I'm just saying the voice
saying
of the people have spoken and said they don't want it.
But is that that's okay then? Because that would be against the American way of doing things, that you can't take a majority to discriminate against a minority. The idea is that in America, a constitutional republic, that everyone, including the minority, should have the same rights as the majority. And you
I
can't,
think everybody should have the same rights, Benjamin.
Because that's what democracy does.
I don't think they should be allowed to call it marriage.
Okay, but who cares? Who cares what they call it? That's the whole point. When in America do we get so concerned with what other people... You know, 50 years ago, a guy could beat the crap out of his wife and rape his children and nobody would say anything. Be like, well, that's just what they do inside their home. We don't want to judge them. It's his castle. It's what happens inside of his house. You know, I'm glad that doesn't happen anymore. I'm glad that we don't have sanctioned domestic violence and it's not okay to rape children anymore. But at the same time, why is it that everyone's trying to crawl inside everyone else's life and judge them and tell them it's wrong? Because
Benjamin, I'm not. I'm not trying to judge anything. I don't care what they do.
I just don't think morally.
You can have marriage between same-sex couples. I just don't think.
I don't care what you do. Just don't do it where I can see it.
But that's the whole point. Is that what does the government have to do?
Dinosaur that needs to die. Okay. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm so damn stupid.
Well, it's not that you're saying not. No one's saying that you need to die here. But you sure seem to be saying that people who don't agree with you just need to.
That's
get
the whole
over
point.
It.
I mean, what are the people, libertarians, anarchists, constitutional Republicans, small R Republicans, what happened? Why can't we just let people just be people? You let them do what they need to do, man.
Well, they've never done that.
But that's the whole point.
Let me say this. They
practice
get married,
what is
fine.
Preached.
I don't think, all right, here's the problem. They're trying to force certain pastors to marry people. If they want to get married and call it whatever they want to call it,
anything.
It's fine.
Who's
they
being
should give,
forced?
They should give,
stop.
Wait a minute. They should give
stop.
Churches and they should give
right.
Christian pastors
stop.
The
stop,
option to
Fester.
Say no.
Okay.
Just like if
Uncle
people
Fester,
don't want to,
stop
a
and have
a
conversation,
take
sir.
A wedding,
oh
he should have the right to say no.
Who
if I
has
a
been?
Don't want to participate in
hey
some
man,
kind of gay ceremony.
Mike,
I have the right to say
Mike,
no.
You keep,
hold,
you keep
just
saying the
over.
Same thing over and over again and not entertaining questions.
All right. Well.
Okay. The question to you is, who has been forced to conduct a gay marriage?
No, there have been photographers that have been threatened with lawsuits for refusing to take pictures at same-sex couples' weddings. There have been people, wedding caterers that have been put under pressure, that have had lawsuits brought from people that refuse to service gay weddings.
Do you realize that, Fester? Oh, my God. It was just silence for just a moment. Just kind of nice. Just relax. Because in America, anyone can bring a lawsuit against anyone for anything at any time. That's the reality of a civil court system.
Do you think Christians should be forced to participate in gay marriage ceremonies?
No, they're not. Nobody is being forced to participate within anything. There is no forced gay marriage conscription of preachers in America. That's not taking place.
Well, there's hate crime laws on the books, just like there are in Canada, where you can't preach the gospel because it's considered hate crime. You know that's coming here.
No,
it's just a matter
not,
of time. It's already in Britain. It's already in Australia. It's already in Canada.
Coming here.
It's going to be here shortly, so I can't go out and read from the Bible because somebody might consider it hate speech.
It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
You don't
happen.
Think so? Never. How much you want to bet? I bet you it's here within the next 2 years.
Okay. I bet you $1,000 in the next 2 years you'll still be able to read the Bible anywhere you want in this country. Fester! Man, you gotta take a deep breath, man.
Really? Because
we're still
if
friends.
It was as bad as you.
We're still
say.
Friends. We're still
hey,
friends.
Man, you know,
if it was as bad, if it was as bad,
you guys stop talking over each other. Jesus Christ! Oh my God, I gotta go. We gotta Fester. We'll talk to you again in the future, man. My goodness, Jesus! People get so excited to say what they need to say. Just silence. Just a little bit of quiet. My God, everyone thinks that. I mean. And God bless you, Fester. You know, you seem like a nice guy. You know, I'm sure we agree on a lot of stuff. But I can't take this whole Christian mindset of being persecuted. This is not Rome. You know, nobody's feeding a Christian to a lion.
If it was
you know,
as
you don't
bad
have to
pra-
you
say.
Don't practice Christianity in the catacombs. You don't have to go underground. You're not on the run. Christianity is it's the most dominant religious force in America today, and
right.
It's been that way since the founding of America. It's just, you know, there's all different things. The world's changing, okay? You know, things are changing.
Right.
You know, people
I mean
are not comfortable with it.
You even beyond being able to freely go to, you know, whether you want to go to the Church of Christ or the Baptist Church or the Presbyterian Church or all, you got all that freedom. You got the freedom to stand out in front of concerts. Weddings, funerals, and everything else with big old placards that say God hates fags, and damn, you can't get the government to stop them. So you got to resort
well,
to the people doing. No, they said they have the right to.
But at the funerals, they
right.
have to be a certain distance.
They had to be a distance, but they didn't like stop them and.
But don't I mean
make it?
That's
we're
kind
going
of
to force you. What I'm saying
but don't
is
don't equate Christianity
what I'm
with.
I'm
the,
not. What
those
I'm saying
people.
Is that if Christianity were so beleaguered. That you wouldn't be able to do that.
Well,
that
I
would
mean,
just
we,
be like,
and the reality
that would be off the table.
The reality
altogether.
Is that you can go out and espouse just about any belief that you have publicly, and nobody's going to stop you unless you're threatening or yelling fire in a theater
right.
or whatever. I mean, come on.
You got to deal with the consequences of your
there
speech.
There is that we are not going to have a situation in America where free speech is being limited, okay? We're not going to have that situation. What we will have and what we do have is a situation where individuals' free speech is drowned out by the corporate megaphone of lobbying dollars that get thrown political way every election cycle and through all the political action committees and everything else to where your individual speech, while it may still be free and you're able to do it, I mean, nobody's going to be able to hear it. Because the Koch brothers are going to be overpowering everything you say. That's the direction we're going in. There's not going to be book burnings in America, folks. We're not headed that direction. They're not going to be burning the Bible on the street, okay? They're not going to be burning any type of literature on the street. People just aren't going to want to read books. We're already getting, you know, see, the information's out there. It's all available. It's there everywhere. I mean, nobody's trying to hide anything from anybody in this country. Okay? It's just there's so much flashy, shiny object taking place on your smartphone and your laptop and your HD TV and all these other things that nobody cares about the reality or the truth or the situation that we're really in. The information's out there. You can go do your homework and figure out what's actually going on, how we got to where we're at now, and, you know, maybe have a little perspective on where we are now, because no matter how many problems that we can point out on this program or in our individual lives with society, the political structure, whatever, we're still at the best point in human. I mean, you know, maybe you go, okay, the American Indian, the way they live, egalitarian society, it wasn't based upon gender roles. It wasn't based upon, I mean, it was inclusive. It was truly, you know, democratic, and it wasn't materialistic and greedy. You could say, well, maybe they achieved something pretty big. But if you want to look at Western civilization and go, okay, right now we're living in the best possible time for Western civilization, because things that were accepted, like I just said, 50 years ago, a guy could just do whatever he wanted inside of his house to his family, and that was just accepted. That was like the woman right. would submit to that. You know, she would accept it. You know, I mean, he beats me and he rapes the children. But, you know, he goes to work and brings home the paychecks, and I guess that's just the way it is. So we'll go to church, and I'll try to – I'll light another candle, and maybe I can pray myself through this. You know, and I know that's not the norm. But it's like that was the reality of the situation at a certain point.
Absolutely.
Very recently in this country, that whatever took place inside of a home, it was just, you know, and nobody would, you know, think twice. And you can go back. I mean, to a certain degree, we are inundated constantly with stories of people who are very much so a part of elites that, you know, rape children. And we get that. So, I mean, there was just the guy from, what was that movie? It was a big story just recently about, you know, Hollywood sex parties that include children. I mean, this is the really? Theme that always comes back around. I'm trying to think of the film. I'm just not a film guy. I don't watch a lot of movies. I don't pay attention to mainstream Hollywood stuff. I saw this story glancingly. I mean, that was what Corey Haim said about Corey Feldman, or Corey Feldman said about Corey Haim. You know, when they had their reality show, the two Coreys, those 80s child stars.
Right.
You know, Corey Haim blaming Corey Feldman for not stopping the rapes when he knew about it. And he's like, you know, saying, I couldn't stop him, Corey Haim. I was getting raped, too. What do you want me to do? I mean, it's just that, you know, while it is still exists in the fringes of our society, you know, the fringes, Hollywood, not necessarily the fringe, but and it still exists within our society. We acknowledge that it's gross and wrong and it's illegal and you should not do it. You know, it didn't always used to be that way. Raping children used to be a norm. That used to be the way things were, right?
Right.
That's not cool. I mean, that's right. I'm glad that we've acknowledged that as a society that that's not cool. Does it still take place?
At least to the edge of the norm, of the normative curve.
So like we're getting
maybe
better,
not
folks.
In the middle,
we don't rape children. Yeah. We don't rape. You know, it's no longer permissible to rape children within society. Does it take place? Absolutely.
That's what I say about freedom is a flame. We see that more and more. That the more that people,
the symbolic flame of raping. I mean,
no, I like free from that.
No, I just like that. I'm saying that we're all the progress we've made because we no longer permit the rape of children, and then you go into your flame of freedom thing again. Maybe we should have had another segue. 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI, you're on the radio.
Oh, this is Russ checking in.
What's going on, Russ?
I was just going to chime in on the part about the gang violence and various things. You know, I look at it from the 1930s, 1920s, 30s, 40s, where you had Italian gangs, basically, and you know, gangs from the old world in Europe, and you know there was sort of an agreement with city officials, government officials, that as long as I get my kickback, and you guys don't take it, you guys don't start killing a lot of innocent people, you know, we'll just look the other way, wink, wink, nod, nod. And then once the gangs, for whatever reason, you know, turf control battles started killing civilians, that's when the government finally cracked down on them. And then, you know, the history of it is they went, for the most part, they moved into Las Vegas, et cetera, looking for legitimate businesses to get into. But I think what's missing in the equation today is that during those times there were not hundreds, if not thousands, and I say not, of civil rights organizations. There weren't, you know, the UCLA, not the UCLA, the whatever the
NAACP.
Civil rights. Yeah, ACLU organizations. So, you know, there'd be so many political incorrect things going on if the government started going after gangs, like using the National Guard or using, special forces or whatnot. So my solution to the problem is
Russ, I don't think the government can use the special forces against the citizens.
Well, technically, that happened. That happened when the government went against the gangs in the 30s and the 40s. It wasn't special forces, but it was special FBI force, task force or whatever grouping.
Yeah, but I mean,
right? They used federal police.
A far cry from the militarization of the local police department under SWAT teams and Department of Defense, Homeland Security contracts.
You have to look at it. I mean, how many gangs are there in the United States? What, 10,000? Or 10,000? It's 100. What is it, 100,000 gang members in this country? And, of course, they come from all different walks of life.
Yeah, but if you look at the reality on the streets of Chicago, these gang sets, they're a bunch of kids. And it's the same thing in New York, and I'm sure it's Kansas City, too. They just make up a name for their crew, and they just go out there, and they're just like, all right, this strip period here. If you don't know us, you can't walk down here. And
born into it the way they're born into countries. I mean,
my solution is first off, since we're obviously not going to do the first option, which is a massive government, intervention through using troops of some kind, since that would be politically probably suicide to do that.
Not to mention wholly ineffective. Who would you?
Probably wouldn't be wholly ineffective.
Well, it would be a lot of blood on the street. But to the extent that the drug trade is an issue, and this puts me back to, I'm not against your thought about legalizing drugs, Ben. I'm just questioning whether it would be the panacea, but Russ, if people. The troops could not storm in and take the drugs. They would still come in because.
Well, you'd have to seal the border, and obviously that's never going to happen. So.
Well, even sealing the border wouldn't do it. I mean, grow it in Idaho.
Well, no, it could be done. There's just no political will to do it. It might have to have a fascist government to do it, but it could be done.
Right. We would have to not be America for us to be able to put that kind of a clamp down.
So my alternative is, here's my alternative plan. Legalize drugs like they're doing in Colorado. Set up, take the people.
They legalized
weed
in Colorado. They didn't legalize
drugs. I'm talking about legalizing all drugs. I'm talking about, let's just throw the baby in with the bathwater.
There's apparently been some confusion, because, Mike, you've talked about legalization in California.
Well, because I was talking about marijuana, not really focusing on the hard
stuff. I'm talking about hard drugs. That's what fuels the violence.
But
that's where the money is.
That is going to have to be.
That's what's sold on the street corners.
That's
going
to have to take time. I think we're on that road.
No, it's never going to happen.
Well, I think 15, 20 years ago, you would have said the same thing about marijuana. Marijuana is the gateway
drug in America.
Marijuana is the gateway drug.
Oh my God!
In the legalization,
Mike, it's not about just drugs. This is about money. This is about police department budgets. This is about incarceration. This is about for-profit prisons.
That's why you have the nascent organizations.
What
like
about
Leap
the headline
that are starting? Things don't happen overnight.
What about the headline last week? Oklahoma kills inmate in botched execution.
Right.
That was brutal.
No.
Until I found out what the guy did, and then I'm like.
But that's irrelevant.
The point is.
Beat and raped a girl and buried her alive.
Right. I'm not sad that the guy went in a bad way. You know what I mean? The question is, we need to settle how we're going to handle it if we're going to do death penalties, just to get it done and not be fighting over whether or not.
It's just the way that I heard the story, though,
or that
twisted
chemical.
I'm listening to the news, and it's just like,
Guys, that's not the point of what I'm trying to say here. I'm trying to say the headline, Oklahoma kills inmate in botched execution. And you just go, okay. So is the law, are the laws against capital murder a deterrent to murder?
Well, not anymore. No.
Were they ever?
Yeah, they were. They were during the cowboy days. You were executed within the month. I'm sure that had some deterrence, but not when you're spending 20 years in prison now.
I don't know. It doesn't seem to me that the death penalty does anything but just give the state the ability to kill people. Give the government authority to take people's lives away.
Okay, so how did you bring
that up? I'm gonna finish my thought here on what this is my plan. You give each person in these particular zip codes, you give them a $20,000 to $30,000 a year stipend.
Oh my God.
You set them up in their own dispensaries, and you say, look, if you keep, in order to get these goodies, you sign a statement saying you will no longer be involved in violent activity. And then once you cross that path, then, you know, we'll have to decide on what punishment is applicable to you. Maybe the punishment will be you get your citizenship stripped, and you just get shipped out somewhere.
All right. Well, Russ, we appreciate your comments there. And
I get passionate. My compassionate view. I'm just saying the status quo is not working, obviously.
No, clearly it's not. And that's my point with the death penalty. But, Russ, we appreciate your phone call. We'll talk to you again in the future. That's what I was saying, Mike, with the death penalty. It's you have these laws that are in place. The death penalty doesn't continue on because it's somehow a deterrent. I mean, all the obstacles that are being put in the way of states like Oklahoma and Missouri with the drug manufacturers no longer manufacturing drugs that have been used in lethal injections, you know, and yet we are still doing it. There's clearly another reason. Government finds itself compelled to murder people, you know, through state-sanctioned executions.
Right. We're
for some other reason.
Churning through that, and we'll be not doing that very soon.
You think so?
Yeah. I think we're going to stop doing the death penalty altogether. I mean, it's
for some reason, a lot of folks really like the death penalty.
I know, but as you get upwards of, well, we're already upwards of 100. And
what's more
and
Christian
when you
than
when you become,
execution?
When you
yeah,
show,
the Bible says we should.
When you show more and more, because we are somewhat a rational society. So when we show and are shown time and time and time and time again that there are people sentenced to death who did not do it, period. And when you have upwards of 100, and when you start, and sadly it'll take 500, right? But when we get to a tipping point, people will say, now, this is all effed up because we're killing people who didn't do it, and we know that they didn't do it.
All right, it's about 18 minutes until the 2 o'clock hour right here on the Paragon Radio program. I'm Benjamin, your host, in the on-air studio with Michael T. and Jesse. We'll be right back after these messages.
This week, World War I as a religious crusade. We take a look at the Great War through a new lens, 100 years later.
What I'm suggesting is the religious and supernatural sense of the war explains why people go to war, and more important, why they stay at war.
I'm Maureen Fiedler. That's next time on Interfaith Voices.
Tuesday at noon, right after your Fusion Funkmeister.
Sweet Nutty came from Okalala, had hair down to his knee. Make the stones talk, make a cripple man walk, make the thunder and the lightning freeze. Sweet Nutty, join the band. Sweet Nutty, join the band. Sweet Nutty, join the band.
14 before the top of the aura right here on Community Radio in the 21st century. And I feel like we've had a really productive conversation thus far. What have we,
Mike? Yeah, I think so.
All right, good.
I think so.
You want to talk about Don Sterling?
Only that I still haven't listened to the whole tape to know the full context of what he said.
I mean, you know, he was like telling that lady who's black, by the way. She's black and,
right,
and
black
Spanish,
and
from what I understand.
Yeah. Black and Mexican, I think.
I think that's what I read. I don't, you know, who knows? But, you know, as far as racist stuff that you could say, it's pretty tame when I can
tell.
I'm
going to
tell
you.
Don't come. He's like, I don't care if you hang out with black dudes. I don't care if you sleep with black dudes. Just don't bring those black dudes
right
to my basketball games.
I'm
going to
tell you, this is probably going to be controversial, and I probably have some people call me a Tom or something, but. Because I still haven't listened to the whole thing, so I'm just kind of going by. She was obviously with this guy. Apparently he bought her a couple of cars and houses that would amount to more than I make in a few years. You know what I'm saying? Not that that means all that much, because you're
a
billionaire.
This guy's a billionaire, yeah.
When you're a billionaire, that's like me buying you a pack of smokes for, you know, hanging out with me. But I see this guy as something like maybe her sugar daddy, right?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. If you're her sugar daddy, you kind of do have her interests at heart. Not like you're, like she's on the board kind of thing, but you do kind of like, you know, they call it daddy baby for a reason, right? It's not just a thing. It's also like, you know, I help her get through college and help her become a better solid citizen, or you know what I mean? Give her the clues to the game.
Where are you going here?
I'm going here with it. That he was kind of explaining to her the way it is. This is the reality that we live in. If you bring too many black people around, you will have problems. Now, was he talking about his own personal issues? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I felt like, because he didn't sound to me like he was like, I hate black people. I mean, he was like, you know, hey, this is the way it is. You know, we're the plantation owners. And if you're going to run with us, right, the billionaires club, you got to understand.
Is that it, though? I mean, is it is there some a little bit of hypocrisy here? I mean,
it would be akin to me pulling a young man to the side and saying, hey, man, you need to pull your pants up. if you want to be respected. I mean, you've got to start to carry yourself a different way if you want to get ahead in this game.
I understand
where you're coming from, and I know you got a lot of black friends, and hey, even Magic Johnson is a nice guy, but let's understand, if you go down this road, you're not going to be able to move forward. And I almost kind of see him going like, you know, look, I'm 81. I'm not going to be around to cover you forever, baby. You better learn how to play this game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe so.
I mean, that's just me. And that comes from a cynical place where I just expect that this racism is real and is not just him. See, I'm not all that concerned about him because, as Uncle Fester said, he's old and going to die. He's going to die. With whatever racism he has, he's going to be gone.
Right.
But there are people in their 30s and 40s who are millionaires and billionaires and captains of industry who have the same feeling, right? Like, I'm a black guy, and I can roam around in the corporate circles of this city. I have done it before, and who knows, maybe will again someday, right? But I know that I have been, even in this city, right, one or two in the room, not a bunch of black guys in the room. You know what I mean? Now, granted, in this city, you got a different thing going in the last 15, 20 years with, you know, Cleaver and now Sly James bringing other people to the table. And not just that they brought black people to the table, but you know what I mean? Right now, you got a black chief of the police and a black mayor and all that stuff. But let's not be unclear that, much like this country, Kansas City's got a divide, and there are still very much limitations to you if you are a minority in this country. And if you break through, you can't bring everybody with you all at once, or you will be, they'll patch that hole. That's just my cynical view of it.
But it's the NBA. I mean, how is it?
Have you never heard the talk about, you can't call them racist because they're millionaires? Well, and then they come back almost always. Black people who are talking about racism will come back and almost always say to you, Shaquille O'Neal is not wealthy. He's rich because he gets $50 million a year. This is how old this thing is, right? Because Shaquille O'Neal was 20 years ago. LeBron James is not wealthy because he makes, what does he make, $50 million, $100 million a year? I don't even freaking know. But the guy who writes his check is the wealthy guy. Okay? Because the NBA is filled with black people, the slave plantation was full of black people. That don't mean the slaves were getting, sure, the NBA players are getting a bigger piece of the pie, but this man is a billionaire. After paying millionaires.
Don't assume
that because there's a lot of black people in the NBA that it's not filled, that the racial component of the leadership is not
that's not what I'm saying, Mike. I'm saying, you know, with what you're saying, how is it that you're gonna say to somebody, don't go to a basketball game with a black guy? That seems like that's good PR.
But if you as an individual, what I'm saying is, if you, young lady, as a black woman who's pretty and yada yada.
But Mike, that's what her job was.
Right.
Was to be kind of a what do they call that?
Sugar baby?
A go-between, a liaison between people and the team. That's what her job was.
I thought it was between him and him and people.
Yeah,
like his assistant.
He said that he wished he had
never said
your mic's not on.
He said that he wished he had paid her off. I don't know if he saw that.
Oh, really? So maybe she asked him for some money, or I'm going to loosen this up, let this go. In her little interview, I just happened to notice it.
I'm just saying this.
She said that she shared it with some friends because she was trying to get some advice on what to do or what to think or what to say, and I don't know who might have let it out.
I just think it's a little unfortunate that you got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar saying, see, because of this one crusty old rich guy, we do not live in a post-racial society.
I think that he said that?
I think that's a very ignorant statement, because one guy, you know, he's the one, this guy who's 81 years old, who everyone knows is a racist. Everyone knows it. Well, right. I don't know. Or a bigot, at least.
Right.
There's been no evidence of him being, I mean, I haven't seen any evidence of him being a racist. I haven't seen him say that, you know, I would never let a black man run my front office because he doesn't understand math very well. But shooting those baskets and doing athletic activities, they're just genetically bred for it.
Well, they all know better than to talk like that.
But that's, I mean, that's what real racism is. What we've got from this guy is just bigotry.
Well,
everyone's been calling racism, 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 but this guy is just a good old-fashioned bigot.
Okay, except that he's got $1 billion. And
so if you're a bigot with $1 billion, that makes you something else?
Well, see, I guess.
But what about the NAACP?
What I found out about that NAACP deal is that that guy who was in charge of that NAACP,
he had all kinds of problems.
Was a
disbarred
judge
lawyer
who was already seen to be taking bribes. So for this knucklehead to be giving out awards for people who give money, okay, yeah, you got a lousy SOB in the ranks. I mean, I'm not.
Really? But you don't think that's,
I don't know that. Well, like you were just saying, one guy. You want to paint the whole organization with one guy. I don't know. I'm not here to defend the NAACP.
I wasn't saying the NAACP is bad because that one guy. I'm just saying that, like, it's a little ironic or something.
It is ironic. But the thing is that the first thing I heard when I was trying to look into this stuff, because I like looking at the comments, and how many people are so hung up on, you know, well, this was a private conversation and it was taped and blah, 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 and they're like all about that. Okay, let's give her 6 months or whatever it is you get for taping a conversation unknown to the other party. But let's address not just that he said it, but what he said and how he was, you know, what he was talking about. And that's where I, like I said, my cynical take on it is similar. I've not read Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's piece, but it's similar to what you said from your characterization of it, is that he's indicative of something else, not that he's just a guy who has $80 billion or is 81 and is a billionaire.
Is he indicative of something else?
He is indicative of something else. We live in a society that within my lifetime did not allow people on the, not just on the court, right, or in the stands, right? Jim Crow and segregationism.
Bro, didn't sports integrate in like the late 40s? Really? When did Jackie Robinson start playing for the Dodgers in 51?
Okay.
49.
40, was it 49? Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I mean.
So that means.
My point here is that when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is like, see, this proves that we don't live in a post-racial society. He's just going, huh? I mean, what?
Okay.
This one crusty old dude who obviously has some sexual problems. You know, this is what he's talking to that girl about. This is what they sit around and talk about. This is what they film. This is what the videos they're making. Who's anxious about black dudes? You know, the sexually dysfunctional, like, old dude who's anxious about black guys somehow proves that, you know, that we live in a racial society. And this idea.
Didn't he say something about, you know, the calls I get when you put all those black guys up with you on there?
Right. One crusty old dude.
Right. Didn't he say something to the effect of, do you know the calls I get?
Yeah, great. I don't.
That means there are other people calling him. That means there is a substrata within the billionaire boys club.
His friend
that
Moshi
is going, hey, hey, dude, I see your girl. I see your girl's got her posse with her today, right? Right? You got all those black guys running around with her, right? Right? And
that proves because this guy, Don Sterling, this crusty old dude, has some crusty old friends who think just like him. That proves that we don't live in a post-racial society.
That doesn't prove it, but you think we live in a post-racial society? Is that where you are?
I think we have we've come an awful long way.
Sure, we've come an awful long way. We were just talking about the murder rates and all that stuff. We've come a long way in a lot of stuff. But we still got a.
And in the last week, all we've heard is racist, 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 and it's a very.
That's not where I'm at.
But that's what was said over and over on the media, and it's one of those conversations that's had that becomes mindless, and it becomes a buzzword, and it becomes just a reason for people to be upset. The NAACP said, we don't think fining him $2.5 million and taking his team away didn't go far enough. What do we want to do? Take the whole $2 billion away and execute him? Will that go far enough? I mean, what?
Right.
So we've given this guy so much power, and we've given, you know, this, I mean, because we've talked about him so much. And this, you know, is this guy anywhere near to being a majority of people? Is this how people think? I mean, how many people who are fans of the NBA, who watch the NBA, are going to be like, yo, I really like watching these guys play basketball, but I don't want to hang out with Blake Griffith because he's a brother. You know, I like watching him dunk, but I'm not going to kick it with him because he's a black dude. I mean, it's like, I would imagine the majority of people who watch the NBA, like all professional sports, you know, I mean, how is a guy